My apologies.
Yes.
I know, I'm grabbed up.
All right. Matches are back.
Yeah.
Like to call the Government Ops Committee meeting to order. Today is April 5th, 2017. The time is 1:09. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congressman Norris?
Here.
Congressman Supernov?
Here.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congressman Walker? Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Present. Please let the record show that Congressman Walker is at an appointment. He did send message via email that he would not be in attendance today. Next item on our agenda is the prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for today and all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We are thankful that we are able to come to work for the Osage people. We ask that you look down upon our elders, our youth, our men and women in uniform, keep our firefighters safe, our EMT, our OMPD. And we ask that you just guide us and help us as we do good work for the nation, for the people that we serve. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. The committee will take a couple of minutes or seconds to look at the last minutes.
Move to approve the minutes of April 3rd as presented.
Motion on the floor in a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
No opposed. Motion carries. Just to let the committee know, we have a very ambitious agenda today.
We like that.
We do like that. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to try to give equal time, but this is the second time on ONCA 1732, but as author of the legislation, we do have in attendance the Casino Executive Management, the Attorney General's Office, the Gaming Commission, and ONPD have all been invited to the table. This is a piece of legislation that is a work in progress, so I'm excited to hear the conversation that we have. As author of the legislation, I will relinquish the chair to the Vice Chair, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Congressman Buffalohead. Your bill, the floor is yours. Proceed how you would like to present this bill.
Thank you. ONCA 1732 is an act to impose a civil fine on persons banned from Osage casinos when they violate the ban by reappearing on Osage casino property and to establish an alternate effective date. I went over this just briefly this morning in the Gaming Commission meeting. Several months ago, I had attended a Gaming Commission meeting where this topic of discussion for a brief moment was the amount of time that security has to re-escort people that have been banned from the casinos for whatever reason back off the property time and time and time again. And so as a legislator, I thought to myself, how can I help to fix this problem? As many of you know that served with Chief Standing Bear when he was a Congress member, he often pointed out that most of our laws at the time, we've done a little bit better, are just laws, but there's really nothing to enforce. There's no penalty. And that was a problem. We all started kind of working on them little by little. So this amendment to the trespassing law was one way that I thought we could try to help the situation, but it's complex. Some of the questions that have come up just in the discussions that I've had is who will impose the civil penalty, who will collect the money, what is the process for banning people. The last time that we met at the table, the process for ban was more verbal. Congress members had a concern with that. I agreed with that. Since then, the casino has looked at, okay, the ban needs to be a letter of writing so that the individual being banned from the casino has a tangible piece of paper that says, "I've been banned, and if I reappear at the casino again, I'm going to get a $1,000 fine." One of the concerns that came up last time was how will this affect Osages, because we have more jurisdiction over Osages than non-natives. One of the areas that I said that that could be fixed was if someone was banned for 4 months or 6 months, it didn't matter what your race was, whether you were Osage, non-Osage, Asian, Pacific Islander, that if you hadn't paid your $1,000 fine, you just, the ban would continue until they ponied up the $1,000 for trespassing after they've been told in writing that they couldn't be there for whatever reason, that the ban would just still stay in effect. That seems to be an area that everyone that I have talked to agreed that could be done and would be fair. So I would first like to, I think the Attorney General's office is the biggest key player here of what we can, how we can start to iron this out. As a sponsor of the bill, I'm not married to pushing it out this session. If we can't do that, I would love for it to be passed, but I want it to work for everyone, and I want us to have all the kinks ironed out before we send it to the floor for a final vote.
AG Wells, would you please come join us at the table? Because I had some questions about the function. I know a lot of times we can get wordy in our laws or try to do things that don't make sense, but this seems very brief on section two. And my question about it is, does there need to be more process within this section two of the law? Do you have a copy of it?
I do, if I could get my glasses so I can read it.
Okay, please. Good deal.
All right, thank you all for joining me.
And I'll just go over and say I'm not opposed to this concept. I just want to know if our law is clear enough and how it works between all the agencies that will have to issue the law, navigate the law, enforce the law. I want it to be clear.
And I don't know that I can answer all of those questions. What I can tell you is for any law, number one, the key is notice. So they would have to be notified, and I made a note on that actually earlier when we were in the commission meeting, and they banned, I think, two people for life or for now.
Indefinitely.
Is how those people were going to receive notice. So notice is an issue in any law. Mm-hmm. Now, ignorance of the law, of course, is no excuse, but if you are banned, you have to know you're banned in order for something to apply to you. So that would be our first hurdle to overcome, which you talked about that a little bit. Then it would be who is going to, the person, say I'm banned, I walk in, security sees me. Okay, I'm Osage. So do I get a ticket? And is that because security is not part of OMPD, is that a citizen's arrest, so to speak?
These are my questions,
what
I
look
at.
That's what we need, to figure out. And I think that's why Chief Nick's here, and Mr. Redcorn's here, and Mr. Buffalo Head. These are the things that we need to know to add to this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the solution to that. I've read through, I don't think we have a citizen's arrest policy in any of our laws. So that could be an issue.
And so security doesn't have, but since this isn't criminal, does there have to be an arrest?
There does not.
Okay.
And if we leave it civil, it could be, I don't want to say citation because that still sounds criminal. but it could be another notice, another form of notice.
So does the trespass law kick in with this? Is this, could this be incorporated into our trespass law, or is trespass criminal and this is civil? See, I just...
Right now, trespass is criminal.
Trespass is criminal?
Yes, yes ma'am.
So...
But if we want to, and again, I know we don't want to penalize Osages more than we, you know.
That's a concern of mine also.
More so than non-Indians.
Right,
you know.
That are violating a ban.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Are they consenting to our jurisdiction when they enter the casino? I don't think so.
I'd like to recognize Gaming Commissioner. Would you like to join us up here at the
table? They can hear me from here.
Well, our listening audience, see these beautiful little drop-down mics? If you're not close to them, sometimes you sound, there you go.
I'm simply wondering if there was a way for, and this would be a question for Holly probably, but if there is a way for the banned list to be domesticated in front of the court. So let's say the casino does a ban, and then they take their ban order over, get it domesticated in front of the tribal court. Now, I've been banned and I go back over into the casino. Then what happens is somebody from Byron staff or security or whoever contacts the AG's office and said, hey, we had this person who's on the ban list come over. They then file a civil contempt. It's not a trespassing, it's a civil contempt that carries up to $1,000 fine. Now, the part of that would be, though, that you can be in contempt numerous times. And civil contempt is quasi in that if you fail to pay it, you fail to follow an order of the court, and then it becomes criminal. So if you don't pay it, those agents will collect their money. But let's say you go and you pay your $1,000, and next week you go over to the next casino hoping they don't know you're banned. That's another civil contempt right there. The security contacts AG's office, AG files a civil contempt action in front of the court. The court can fine up to $1,000 on a civil contempt, and that money then goes to the court, not, I mean, you know, that's revenues of however y'all disperse court money. It's not coming into the commission because we hear the ban appeals. It's not coming back to gaming. It's simply a function of the law, however, whatever you do with the law, money's over here. I think that takes care of some of the questions you were bringing up, but I don't mean to step in your light. I just had an idea while I was over there. So that's, I would say we treat it like we do domesticating orders. Let's say state of Oklahoma, it's a good one here, child support. State of Oklahoma issues a child support order. They send an order over to Congress and say, hey, Angela Pratt needs to be paying her child support. At that point, you say, we don't follow the orders of the state. That has to go in front of our court to be domesticated. And essentially, that's what we'd be saying here is we would be doing an internal domestication from one function to another.
So, if I may, what I hear, there's a lot of moving parts here that probably need to go into this.
There's probably parts of
that that probably need to go into this law instead of just this one section two,
yes.
What I'm seeing. And my question is about once our security, our casino security catches or sees somebody there that's on our property violating a ban, will surveillance footage be enough for that?
Security's testimony that John Doe was present, he does a complaint, a civil complaint to the AG. The AG then files the pleading to have a civil contempt filed.
Which the proof would be in surveillance records.
Well, if you need it further, but really it's their testimony.
It's their testimony.
Yeah, and then the court would hear the yes, I was there, or no, I was not there. And if they say they're not there, then of course we have surveillance footage. But what the biggest moving part would be that, like the commission gets a ban list every month, it would require the enterprise to shoot over a ban list to be domesticated so that the court always knows who's on that ban list. And then it becomes a domesticated ban.
So their ban list would go through?
To the court.
Just to the court, not through the commission at all.
They give us for informational purposes, but we're not, I mean, just for informational purposes.
And then if somebody violated that ban, then they'd automatically go into a permanent ban list until they're, if they were found guilty of coming back on, they go on a permanent ban list until their fine was satisfied.
I think you're adding something that doesn't need to be there.
Okay.
Because if they're in contempt, I mean, if they've violated, that's a contempt of the order to not appear on that way we're not getting into criminal trespass or anything like that. It becomes a contempt. They do it again, that's another contempt, that's another charge, and that's another $1,000. Sometimes you have to hit people in their pocketbook before they wake up and hear the call.
Okay, so what about jurisdictional issues with non-Osage?
Civil. And once they come on your tribal property, you have jurisdiction over non-Osage people.
But does this really prevent them from showing up each time and having $10,000 worth of civil fine stacked up against them?
Yes,
over here in the court? Does that prevent them in any way from coming to our casinos?
Because here's the
and
deal.
And then having to chase them out.
Here's the deal. When AG goes over to the court and they say, Judge, and the judge says, yes, this person's in contempt. Marcia shouldn't have been there. She's been banned. You're in contempt. I fine you $1,000. I give you 30 days to pay. Well, they're going to watch, and if that person hasn't paid in 30 days, that's what your court does. And they're going to look, and they're going to say, this person hasn't paid. Well, now you're going to move into a criminal contempt. And then, if you either pay or you go to jail, kind of thing.
Well, what jurisdiction do we have? Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say that Congresswoman Buffalo, had the last meeting we had about this, it's you all live in a whole different world than we know about. I don't gamble. I don't go to the casinos to gamble. And I don't know a lot about what you all put up with. But she did a really good job of describing some of the things that occur after hours, and it really opened me up to, yeah, I can just imagine, it's like running a bar with slot machines. This is difficult. I know it's gotta be difficult. And I had questions. One was, I think, from the last meeting, if you can get banned from a hotel violation, but still be able to go to the gaming part, but didn't know, or the vice versa. If someone gets mad for losing 10 grand in the casino, they go to the hotel room and punch a hole in the wall.
You get banned, you're banned.
From the hall, okay. I didn't know, and they're banned from all casinos.
Yes.
Okay. Money left on, don't you have to, it's not cash anymore, you get a card.
Well, you get a piece of paper, a slip.
No, when I go into the hotel and I want to go to the machines, I just can't sit there and put money in, I got to go get one of those.
You can put money in.
Oh, you can put money in?
And if you win, it kicks you out a little piece of paper, it's a pay slip. And the only thing you're putting in that's a card is your membership card, which gives you special bonuses and things like that.
Do those membership cards have any cash value to them? Can they walk out and say, I've got $1,500 worth of winnings, I'm going to come back tomorrow and play? Or?
There's a free play value associated to it.
Okay.
But that's a part of the membership of the club. We can rescind that at any time.
It's okay. Not a bank of any sort. You can't win and hold money on that. It's not like a credit card.
Can it be used as a tracking device on individuals?
It's used to, yeah, we could utilize that in that aspect. Because if you come in, you put your card in, we know which machine you're playing. It's you.
Someone that's banned snuck in a disguise, and they walk in and they stick their card in.
We'll know that they are banned when we compare it to the cost. Now, what we really run into is these people won't use a card, right? They'll come in, and it's really hard to get pictures to Jim's crew and say, okay, Byron looks like this, and he's going to possibly show up. They're not using the card unless they hit a taxable jackpot where an interaction is needed with a service member. That's the only time we can really positively, unless Jim's walking by and goes, I know that's Byron. I know him. I know his family. Get him out of here.
Okay.
But we can track it from a that aspect, yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure they use disguises that they want to come back in. Are they also banned from the C-stores? Pulling in gas?
They should be banned from the C-store. Every gaming enterprise entity.
Okay.
Of course, there's nobody, I mean, C-store worker may not have any clue what Byron looks like, and he's out there pumping gas. They're not going to have a clue. Usually where you catch them is if somebody from security or surveillance recognizes them, or like you said, they hit a taxable.
Right.
Bands are very hard to track. Yeah. But you'd be amazed at how many people know they're banned. They go in, they win, and then they complain because they can't have the winning.
Right.
You know, I won $10,000, but you were banned. Oh, yeah. It's not a valid win.
We're going to take $1,000 out and keep the rest.
Yeah.
Are there smoke shops on the parking lots of some of the premises? None of that. So, and then NIGO or NIGA,
NIGC.
Do they all have a policy that they, other all the casinos use to share with each other? Or when it comes to bans, do they have a...
It's by jurisdiction.
Okay.
I think there's a general consensus that they rely on the Osage Gaming Commission as well as the operation to create and enforce their own ban policy, if you will, and police it. I'm not aware of any NIGC regulation regarding banned individuals.
So there's not a direct regulation. I think
I think compact-wise,
simply
there is.
In the compact, it even simply says that the enterprise has to have the ability to ban.
Right.
And but NIGC just leaves that out there for the tribe. I mean, NIGC sets these parameters and says don't go beyond them, but you can do anything in them. So
okay.
There's nothing specific to the that says you must ban in this way.
But that you have to, they have to know in written notice that they're banned. Is that what you were saying, Holly?
Yes, that would be my bet.
So, if in all these scenarios play in my head, I'm sure you guys deal with this. There's a guy at the bar, and he's mad for losing, or mad at his girlfriend or life or whatever, throws his beer bottle through the mirror behind the bar and runs out the door. You guys know who he is. How do you deal with that? You track him down? And then he goes, shows up in Sand Springs, and they don't know that he did this in Ponca City. I mean, there's all
there are problems that are going to occur
right.
Like that because it's just impossible.
Yeah.
But typically, if somebody were to throw a beer bottle and bust something, the security is going to be on them that quick. Security will hold them. If it's a police matter, they're going to contact the police. If it's just a GM's decision to ban them, they are given a letter and they have the right to sign it.
Right.
That's how it's always been done since I've been on, is that they're given a letter that tells them they're banned, and it'll say for 6 months, 1 year, whatever, or indefinite. Indefinite essentially means forever until the commissioner of the enterprise overturns it.
Okay, and it's just good information for me.
Yeah.
And one last thing, so if I'm banned from the hotel and the casino, that includes the event center?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No concerts.
Okay.
Congressman Buffalohead.
Well, I just... I believe the words that I used the last meeting was, there's nothing holy going on at 3 a.m. at the casino. Because our casino workers and OMPD are dealing with alcohol, drugs, fighting, when y'all are escorting people that have already trespassed and been banned out of the casino, they're probably irate. Maybe they've been drinking or using, like, it causes a commotion to the point that our other guests are having to listen to it. It causes for OMPD to maybe drop what they're doing somewhere else to come deal with it. It causes security to have to just keep repeating a step of escorting people that have already been banned, and been escorted off the property numerous times. So I'm curious, I've talked with a lot of you all, but do you all think, and I say you all, i.e., AG's office, ONPD, Gaming Commission, and Executive, that this is something that you think is worth really working on to cut down on these issues.
I'd like to hear from Byron on that question first.
Sure. Let me say this.
Mr. Big Horse, for the people that are listening.
Yeah. I'm going to stand up. You sit down. I've been sitting down in the meeting all day. I'm just full of coffee. Thank you again for bringing this up, Congresswoman Buffalohead. This is it's a nuisance. It really is. I talk to tell people, I use the analogy of fleas come with a dog, right? If you're going to run an establishment where you offer alcohol and you offer entertainment, those kind of people kind of get attracted to that. The Hard Rocks of the world, the Margaritavilles of the world deal with the same issues that we deal with. These are the same people. So I would say yes, this could be explored further as long as it doesn't put an unnecessary burden on the AG's office, on the Gaming Commission, on my staff to facilitate another step, if you will. I appreciate that idea that Commissioner Harlan brought forth on the, I'm not an attorney, so the content issue, I like that. To me, we share the ban list with the commission on a continual basis to make sure we're all on the same page. It's just another notification to the AG's office to say, hey, this Byron Big Horse was in here, we want to file a
contempt.
He was banned on such and such day.
That can be as simple as a form or an email, mm-hmm. or however we facilitate that. But absolutely, I'm in complete agreement with anything we can do to help everybody get these people out of here and keep them out of here. That's what we're all about. So,
Congressman Norse and then Congressman Supernor.
So, the way this legislation reads, it's you're banned from all property. That includes the parking lot. You can't even drive on that parking lot without being in violation of this. So people can't conduct some type of activity in our parking lot.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Unless they're willing to come and offer to repeal their ban, which we have a process, they have to go directly to security. And if we say, hey, Byron, you're on, you know you're banned. Well, he goes, hey, I want to talk to security about getting it repealed.
Right.
There's a process for that.
Right.
Other than that, you're right, they don't need to be on property at all.
Is there any need? I don't, probably not, but when our people enter our tribal nation around the casino, you are subject to the laws and jurisdiction of the Osage Nation.
There is signage.
Mm-hmm. Is there signage? Okay, that's good.
That's I know there's signage. It's in every casino that what law is controlling, and you're now on the property of the Osage Nation, right? And that's in federal Indian law, that would be called implied consent. If mm-hmm. I come and I know that it's a jurisdiction, I've given implied consent to their laws.
So, Mr. Big Horse, those signs do exist in our casinos right now.
Yes.
Okay. Congressman,
they can be. I can make more prominent if we need to.
Okay. Congressman, yeah.
I'm curious about how the logistics of it. How do you, when you ban somebody, how do you notify all the casinos at the same time that this person's been banned? Mm-hmm. And how do you do that if you don't have a picture of the person?
So, very good question. I'm going to give my security director an opportunity to answer that one, because I think you'll be very pleased. This is something I've tasked him with. He can kind of give you a little color on that.
Mr. Redcorn, would you please join us?
Yes. Thank you, Member of Congress. Could you repeat the question, please? Just to have me clarify.
Congressman Supernova.
Oh, I was just curious as to how you, when you ban someone, how do you notify all the facilities at the same time? And especially if you don't have a photograph of the individual, if he's banned, when he's, you know, in the hearing where it's not there?
Generally, when we have a centralized ban list and a ban system, so every casino has the same information. So once that ban report goes in, there should be a photograph of that individual attached to it, and then everybody has access to it. And the notification goes out, goes to the Gaming Commission, everybody else, that this person has been banned.
Well, I understand if you have a list of people that's banned.
Right.
How do they know if they don't know what it looks like?
Well, that's the one thing is, we don't want somebody to go from Tulsa to Sand Springs, you know, band here to go up there and start playing again. We do notification within security. The way we do it is a visual confirmation of the individual. And once we observe that person, then they make sure that they actually verify that that's actually the person that's being banned, that's been banned, and then they ask them to leave. Then they do a ban violation report. So they do a ban report, and then for every violation of a ban, there's a ban violation report as well. And in the narrative is where we say this person was notified, this is who told them, and this is how they were notified that they were banned. Now, what we've been doing, and because we want to do something different, and because we have new systems coming online, we want to not just look at how we've been doing things, but look how we can do things. And one of the things that we were considering, and I met with my team day before yesterday, they came with a pretty good solution, is that during the ban process, and I'll provide that information, during the ban process, the person, there's an event that occurs, there's a decision by an authorizer that says,
excuse me, Mr. Redcorn, for one minute. I believe that your question was, is how do they know from property to property who's banned? Was that your question?
Especially if you don't have a picture of the individual.
I believe he said they had a photo in
the file. There'll be a photograph of the individual on the ban report.
So they have access to a computer file that has a photo of the people who have been banned. Is there a further question to that?
How do you get that photo if you have banned
surveillance.
Surveillance.
From their surveillance cameras.
Sometimes they'll allow the photograph to be taken, or not a photograph, their ID to be taken, and then a copy is made of that, and that's put in the ban report.
So this morning in their meeting, I don't know if you got to look through their book, but they provided us a book of their of the gaming commission meetings for Congress members, and when they go under the place that has bans, you flip up into a page and you see big old shot of that person that's been banned. So I've seen an example of what quite possibly is in your file. So there is a photograph that accompanies it. Is there more question about that?
No, you're welcome.
Congressman, tell me.
Yeah. Do our officers in the casinos have weapons? Do they?
No.
I'm curious. Does anybody in Oklahoma allow to do that?
Yes.
In the casinos?
Mm-hmm.
They do, but we don't.
Right.
Wonder if that would be a deterrent. Just curious.
It's maybe not for a ban. I mean,
okay.
It's a deterrent instead as well. So.
Do you get free alcohol when you ban like they do in Vegas at our casinos?
We give away 3.2 alcohol, which is low, not considered alcohol according to the
shelf beer off the grocery store.
Right.
So they do. Is there a correlation with the bans and alcohol?
You know, it varies.
Yeah.
To say it's a direct correlation, I don't think so. It has happened. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Most of these that we're talking about are not alcohol related. They're more, you come back, we know, you know, you have a gambling addiction or you have no business being here. Usually, it could be somebody panhandling for money, which we're very strict about. We don't want somebody coming. You're coming in. I want you to have a good time. I don't want somebody coming up begging you for $5.
Yeah.
But we run those people out of there.
Yeah.
But these are the people that continually come back.
How many bans in a year do you get on average?
Well, right now we have a total of 2,152 bans as of today.
For the year?
For entire items. I didn't determine for the year, but I can't get that information.
Okay. Since we've been open in 2000, when were we open?
Depends on the open date. 25,
and then the tribal court also adds bans.
Mm-hmm. The court, when there's a crime committed, that is part of their sentence as well. Is that they're banned for a certain amount of time or indefinitely? In your example, when they threw the beer bottle through the mirror,
mm-hmm.
that OMPD would be called, and that person would be arrested, and that would be a criminal.
If you could catch him.
If you can catch him. Security's good at catching him.
Is there ever any case where a person has a band file that there's not a photograph with it?
We have John and Jane Doe.
You have John and Jane Doe's that are banned.
Sometimes there's a photograph.
You don't have an address, you don't have a photograph, but...
Right, and we want...
But there was an incident that you feel like whoever that John or Jane Doe was needed to be banned. So that's really not very enforceable.
Not until we can verify if, that we can do, take, match this with this, then we can, now we can call it a ban, you know.
Okay. Was that helpful to you?
Closer all the time.
Am I getting closer? I'm trying to help you out.
Could I have a little example?
Yes, please, Byron.
For that question. Jim has sent me a report on an individual who took a ticket from an individual in Tulsa, ran out the door, right? So we don't know who this guy was. We do have pictures of him running out the door. They tried to come back later that next day, that evening. Security spotted them with the help of surveillance, and we captured that individual. So we do have those instances. Of course, we put a ban on that person after we...
And we got, you got a picture.
I believe we called OMPD.
You got a picture of him.
Yes, and I think OMPD arrested them as well. So.
Did he surrender his identification? You called Osage Nation PD?
He was arrested.
And
yeah,
arrested
yeah.
Him. Okay.
So we do have those instances where, you know, hey, I don't have a really good idea of who you are. I got a good image of you.
But you can't officially ban that person until you have their...
When you grab their stuff.
Their information, and you give them notice that they are banned. That's part
we,
of
well, we can ban them, but to notify them, mm-hmm. We need to know who they are, you know, need their ID.
So. Right. So that's more official than right. ID.
But just add a little okay. Example.
I have one. Go ahead, please.
We're not going to develop a perfect system. I mean, there's always going to be people who slip through. But the majority of the time, especially with what they're getting ready to start doing, we are going to have a photo 90% of the time, wouldn't you say?
Yes, ma'am.
And the Jane and John Doe's, they can't stay away from the casinos. So at some point, we're going to get a picture of them, or they're going to commit a crime, and it's going to be they're going to be in that system instead of under the civil. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
So, did you finish telling us what your new plan was, Mr. Redcorn?
No, ma'am.
Would you please? I would like
yes.
to hear it.
Because one of the things I keep hearing about is the notification. How do we notify them that they've been banned? The way the process goes is that once a ban has been initiated, there's that kind of a soft period where the general manager has 3 days to approve, deny, modify whatever ban, and then after that third day, then that becomes permanent. That decision becomes permanent. Then it becomes a ban, and that's and then more notifications go out to everybody else that this person's been banned. Then what we're talking about doing now is within the system that we've just acquired, is that we're going to be able to, if that next time that person comes in, and it kind of falls in line with what we're doing right now, next time that person comes in, instead of saying, hey, you're violating this ban, you got to leave, we'll be able to, hey, you're violating your ban, and we can print a form out to them and just say, here's your notification. And that way, we're giving them something that says that this individual is banned, and then they can leave.
And they can refuse to sign, and then they just put, security officer would just put refusal.
Right.
Or you just present it to them.
Or you'd make a report that it had been handed, that you presented and unsigned, and that would be a record that we would have for our courts. Okay.
Because not everybody's cooperative.
I have one more question about if we would change this law like has been kind of presented at the table, and then they're found in contempt of court once that it's been filed with the courts. And they're found in contempt, so then it turns into a criminal proceeding. My question is to Chief Williams. So say they call you up now and they say, there's a warrant for this person's arrest because of they violated the court's ban. They're in contempt of court. and it's a non-Osage person, can you go over there and arrest them?
Through our cross-commission, yes.
Through your cross-commission, you can. And would they have to stand under our jurisdiction then? Well, I think this is a real big, huge issue of sovereignty and...
And that was my question, when I asked Martha, she kind of answered on that a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Of surrendering to our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to a criminal matter, criminal trespass, and we issue a trespass warning with securities backing report and what have you, they show up again, we arrest them. It's up to the DA, it's up to the AG, whether they file the charges to continue on. You know, and I sympathize with these guys because they do, you know, and we're in that fight with them. It's continuous, mm-hmm. continuous. You know, I've witnessed cases where I've recognized people myself. Well, I'm banned from this casino, but I'm going over here. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you're not. And now I'm watching you, and you just told me, so you need to keep off parking and get going. Mm-hmm. I'll hook you up right now.
Mm-hmm. So, what?
But if it comes from the court, it is an order down to police officers from the judge saying, hey, they violated my order. Here's the arrest warrant.
Okay. Did you have
a... I was just going to say, you know, ideally, and we don't have this, the ability to do this right now, which Chief Nick and I were discussing, is, you know, like Cherokee Nation has an armed officer on the premises 24 hours a day.
Which is what we're working on
right
now.
Which is right now. What?
Mr. Giller, have you finished drafting that legislation yet?
I've been working on it.
And, you know, that's the ideal situation.
Right.
In my opinion. Mr. Redcorn, do you agree with me?
You're talking about the armed police officer, right?
Yes.
Okay. See what she did say? Somebody there all security. The casino. So, okay.
Can I add one more thing? Because I need to clear up something, guys. And that is, whether something becomes criminal, appropriate criminal jurisdiction or not, becomes a call of the AG and the court. Those are facts that have to be determined if it rises to a criminal. But what Nick is saying is that if the court issues a warrant, it is a command to him. He doesn't get to decide whether it's a legitimate warrant or not. He has to go exercise it. What we're saying is that something, what I recommended was that we take the ban list and have it, what we, when the law called domesticated it. And then we leave that to the AG's office and the court to implement whatever authority Congress gives them. And I think what was thrown out by Congresswoman Buffalo Head was $1,000 fine. Well, instead of calling it a fine, if you call it a civil contempt, mm-hmm. you can keep bringing them back. Eventually, they're not going to have the $1,000. Or the other thing, I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen here. It may come to a deal where we find we don't have criminal jurisdiction. So now what's been domesticated by the gaming enterprise into tribal court may require being domesticated into another court that would have criminal jurisdiction. So there's lots of ways to get around all of that. But typically hitting somebody with a $1,000 fine and holding them, and most of the time, there are non-Indian people who come in, but a lot of times they're going to claim, oh, I'm Indian, and that's all we need out of them is for them to say one time that they're Native. They don't have to show us anything. They just have to say, I'm Native. Okay, well, we have jurisdiction then. So,
Attorney General Wells.
Are they fined $1,000 and then they're still banned?
Yes, that ban is in place because it's a enterprise authority. So the $1,000 is actually them violating that. It'd be the contempt sanction is what it would be.
Understood. I just wanted to clear that up.
Congressman Tillman.
And there's only one level of ban. And then after a year.
You can be banned for 6 months, you can be banned for 30 days, you can be banned indefinitely.
So the repeal documentation that I'm reading here 1 year after the initiation, that applies?
That's probably if it's, I don't know what that's an enterprise, but that's a self-ban.
Gotcha.
I believe I have an addiction to gaming, then I can self-ban. You'd be amazed at how many people will fill that out and then come in and
make me stop. Mm-hmm.
And come in and get mad because you won't give them the $10,000 they just want.
Party on, Dorothy.
any more Congress members at the table have some comment questions? Any people that this affects and gaming have any more comments or questions?
I just have a question to clarify. When you're talking about armed, when you're talking about armed security or armed law enforcement?
That question was to you, Attorney General Wells, I believe. Were you talking about armed security or armed law enforcement?
I know there's armed law enforcement officers and security for Cherokee Nation.
Right. I was a captain over there.
Right.
And so we, not every casino had armed law enforcement. Only, there was only a few that were on duty at the time. I don't know how they're doing it now, but it was primarily the Batista, Rogers, the one in Will Rogers. Generally, it was, they had armed security everywhere else. And so, in fact, we had armed security
right.
at the casinos as well. So I just want to clarify that because I want to.
Yeah, do you want to talk about
it? This fit right in with what they were.
Please.
What are those, stun guns? Do you all have those?
We do.
Can you have them in the casinos there? Security.
We've actually purchased them.
So those are. And so
we have the issue. We purchased them. We're going to have those available with armed officers ahead of time. And so.
It's a law of the nation that nobody but OMPD can be armed, which is why the commission said security couldn't be armed. It's a law that you guys made. We didn't make it. That says only OMPD can carry firearms on tribal property. The casinos are tribal property. Therefore, we remove the weapons from our security. That's a whole different matter than what you're talking about today, but it is something that we've been talking about and does need to be addressed.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Mr. Burton?
Yeah. I was just going to make a comment that under the good faith and fair dealings or good faith doctrine, and the agreement with the state of Oklahoma, any civil penalty can be collected in a state court as a state court judgment. So you can go in and garnish somebody's bank account, garnish their, as long as it's a civil judgment. Because there's an agreement between the Osage Nation for full faith and credit between the two different jurisdictions.
Thank you for pointing
out. And so that, as long as it remains that in a civil jurisdiction, and it's a very simple procedure. You just file the judgment with the clerk of the county wherever you want, and then you can enforce it under the laws of the state.
It's filed as a foreign judgment, uh-huh. And we could put liens on property, like you said. You can garnish wages. You can put a lien on a car.
Okay. So I think why we're sitting here at the table is because I think we all are in agreement that this is a good thing that we need to do to enforce our bans on people and. I agree, it's a good piece of legislation. I think the questions are, is what do we need to fix in this law to make it work and function? And so I've heard different things. I don't know, how do you want to proceed, Congresswoman Buffalo?
Well, I think that this is we'll spend an hour on it. A good amount of discussion was said. So at this point, I would prefer for the committee to postpone it to the call of the chair. I will get with legal counsel, work in everything, especially what Commissioner Harlan had to say, work that into it, even if I have to come back with a committee substitute and we can discuss it at another meeting, and then from there critique it a little bit more if we need to, and everyone would be invited back. I would let each entity know when the next meeting would be on it and work from there. But I think that this was a good amount of discussion.
Thank you, Congressman Bucklehead. Angie?
Do we want to invite perhaps a court representative to the next meeting?
That's a good idea. Yeah. Good idea. Congressman Tillman?
Oh, I was just going to make a motion.
I wanted to give anybody one last opportunity before we move on.
And thank you for all the entities that came
yes,
here.
Yes, appreciate it.
Appreciate
very
it.
Very helpful.
Thank you.
Congressman Tillman.
Motion to postpone on NCA 1732 with call of chair.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none. I would see a 1732 is favored to call the chair.
Thank you all for having me.
Congressman.
Good. Tell her I said hello.
5 minutes.
Thanks for coming to the meeting today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Marsha. Elizabeth.
Tell me this event when you get to the writing.